Simply Stogie's coverage of the 2024 PCA Trade Show is sponsored by My Old Kentucky Herf, May 11th. Call Fat Ass Cigar Lounge at 606-254-0484 to get your tickets.
Welcome to Simply Stogie's. I am your host, James. Nick is still recovering from the PCA Trade Show, and this is honestly just a quick little intro into some of our interviews for the trade show, and I thought it would be fun to kind of sit down and just kind of let you guys know what's going on. But I also want to thank a lot of folks. And of course, the first folks that I want to thank is My Old Kentucky Herf. May 11th this year in Ashland, Kentucky, put on by Fat Ash Lounge from Dwight Atkins and Stephen Ray and Tim there at Fat Ash Cigar Lounge. Guys, tickets, I think they're still available. They're $225 starting today. You missed out. You didn't get the early bird special. $225 for VIP tickets. With that, you're going to get two beer tickets. You're going to get a food voucher. You're going to get over a box of cigars from all of the manufacturers that are there. And there's a lot of manufacturers that are going to be there. Greg Free from Fortaleza y Libre. Nick Siris from LH Cigars, my friend and co-host. He'll be there. Lures Cigars, Lou Cross will be there for Lures Cigars. There's a whole bunch of people, Luciano Morales from Luciano Cigars, Chef Rick Rodriguez, from West Tampa Tobacco, Gusto Eroa from JRE. There's a ton of folks going. Guys, get your tickets. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's May 11th this year. It's the second Saturday in May every year. I hope to see you there, but I want to really thank Dwight and Steven for sponsoring this, sponsoring our coverage of the PCA Trade Show. So thank you to them. I also want to thank my team that went, Randy Carmichael, Eric Lemire, Timothy Allen, and Nicholas Siris, like without whom this would not have happened. Tim and I have done this before on our own. And it's difficult with just the two of us. And so to be able to have Randy, this was his third trade show. I believe it was our fourth. It was his third. Eric Lemire, this was his third trade show, but his first with us. He used to go as a retailer, and now he goes with Simply Stogies. And of course, Nicholas Harris, who's been there a ton of times, but this was his second time as media. And they all did a fantastic job. They really did. If the camera angles and the just how it was set up, without them, this wouldn't have happened. And I'm humbled and honored that they come every year and they do this, and they do it without complaining and they do it without whining. And I am very thankful for their friendship and for all of the hard work that they do, not just for me, but for you guys at home. And so, thank you to them. Thank you to the team. Go check them out. SimplyStogies.com. You can see the team there. I also want to thank HalfWheel.com, especially Brooks Whittington. We saw Brooks every day. I saw him multiple times a day while we were there. And every time he saw us, even before I would see him, he would come up and say, "Hey guys, how's it going? Glad to see you. Do you need anything? Is there anything I can do to help? Like, what's going on? What are you doing right now?" He genuinely seemed interested in us and the content that we were getting and how we were getting it. And it was humbling. And without Brooks, I'm going to be 100% honest with you folks at home. Without Brooks, we wouldn't have probably gotten Nick Melillo. We probably wouldn't have gotten Dapper. Probably wouldn't have gotten Pestaña. Brooks genuinely cared what we were doing and was helping us out. And I'm overwhelmed by it. I really am. The fact that both Charlie and Brooks know who we are is a little overwhelming in and of itself. You know, we're just a small podcast. This is what we do. We do it for you folks at home. We do it for the audience because we want you to know what's going on at the trade show. We want you to know what new products are coming out, what we're excited for. And I can't wait for you guys to see some of this stuff and hear from the manufacturers themselves what's going on. But again, without Brooks Whittington, without Charlie Minato, it wouldn't have been the same. And so I am, excuse me, getting choked up. I'm very humbled that that they helped us out. So thank you, Half Wheel. Guys, you know, it's halfwheel.com. Go check them out. They are the cigar news source of record, and they do a fantastic job at what they do. Go check out their coverage of the trade show. I think that Brooks did a really fantastic job. I know there were only two folks from Half Wheel there for the first 2 days, and I think Charlie showed up on Monday. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see him. Tim saw him, said hello. We were just too busy. But guys, that's it. I hope you enjoy these interviews. We worked hard on them to get them out in time for this first episode of April. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Simply Stogies at the PCA 24 Convention and Trade Show. I am here with my friend Sebastian from Cavalier Cigars. How are you today?
Good.
Thank you for taking the time. This is day one, first interview. You were our last interview last year, 9 months ago, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And so I appreciate the time you gave us last time. Look, Domaine Rouge, guys, simplystogies.com. Check out the review. It's going to be there. Great cigar.
Thank you.
What was the reception to all of the new cigars you had last year?
So we did quite a bit over the last 2 years. Yeah. Right? Expanded a lot, the portfolio. And good. And it's been, you know, expansions in different areas, also price points, story behind the cigars, reasons behind the cigars. So the man in the inner circle was, you know, one bubble for it. Tres Delincuentes is the other one, which is more price conscious. And in their own right, they all got accepted within their own crowd, right? Because it's different customer base. So,
sure.
Yeah.
And then something that you try to do is you really try to cater to a wide audience in your cigars. You've got everything from the mild to the full. And now you've got this Tempura Black 2.
Yeah.
Talk about this, because this is a nice little smoke.
Thank you. So that's one of the things, right? This year, because of everything we did over the last 2 years, we wanted to focus back to what we do, our heart, right? Which is the gold diamond, basically, right? Where we started and what we've been known for. The rest is more a chance for me to express, you know, love for different things, etc., etc. So we wanted to focus back on this, make sure that people also know that we didn't forget where we come from, right? So you went straight to the June release. So we didn't have a current release.
We'll get to that.
Just joking around. So the Tempura is Figurado that we are releasing in a white, black 2 and Viso Jalapa in June. It's always going to be in that same size. All of them, none of them is going to be box pressed. As you know, black 2 Viso usually soft box pressed. We kept it round.
Yep.
So we wanted to have fun with, you know, a bit more, get out of our way with special sizes and stuff like this, because the fun wasn't creating new stuff, right? And then going back to what we already had, the Toros we already had, you know, whatever, the Gordos, the Torpedos. And so the question is, what do we do to add to the core line but make it a bit fun? So that's what we came up with, Figurado Tempura. It's going to be a first. There's going to be other projects following it.
Really?
And it's so we said when we sent the press release out, we didn't give a lot of information on this, just the name and the fact that it was coming. First of all, because it's coming in June. And second, we're still in terms of packaging on some testing grounds. So the cigars have been in production. We're good to go on that side, but we don't have the final packaging yet. And the idea and the concept, when I say there's going to be other projects around it, the concept is, yes, we go back to the gold diamond, but in this case, we're trying to adapt items that are used in the factory on a daily basis and make it an actual cigar box or something that we can present at retail locations.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's going to be a bandeja. So a bandeja is what we use, for example, when you're putting bands on cigars, you put, you know, you just line them up to make sure everything is tight, is right, everything, the collar is still right, and then you can approach the step of putting everything in cello and then boxing, right?
Right.
And I think it's the beauty of, because we've now had the factory for a few years, it's the beauty of actually bringing the factory stuff to the retail store. We had a go at it a long time ago when we used to own a cigar shop in Switzerland, and we did similar projects, but just for the shop. And so now the idea is to kind of translate this into something that we would distribute. So that's the first step. It's a fun size. The blends react really well to the size. And its presentation can be something. It's a challenge, though.
So it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun from the size all the way to the packaging, the marketing of it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you do that kind of stuff, do you get a lot of good feedback from the retailers because they feel that connection, especially to the factory?
Well, it's the first time we really do that and bring it to the retailers, so we're going to see. I already know that some retailers might not be too happy about the size of the bandeja because, you know, it's an item that is pretty wide. So for shelves, it's not practical. It's one roll wide. But I really think it's going to translate in terms of how it looks. And it has a story behind it. It's something that's going to talk to consumers and should talk to retailers.
Absolutely.
We'll see what people say, but honestly, I don't really care. I think it's a project that is worth it. It's going to be something that is going to present itself pretty well. So, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Let's talk about this.
So this is what it's the first step into going back and focusing back on the gold diamond.
On the
right?
Gold diamond, yeah.
Exactly. So again, that's a bit more traditional. It's going to be regular boxes.
Well, that's what puts you guys... It sets you apart from everyone else. When a consumer walks into the humidor and they see that gold diamond, they're like, what is that? And they're intrigued. They're like, let me try that. And then they get hooked because they're great cigars.
I appreciate that. Well, it's one of the things we had, you know, the conversations we had very early on was how do we do? You know, we were not from the industry. We were not one of these, you know, lucky families that have been growing in this industry, which would have been great, but it wasn't the case. We kind of fell into this industry. So how do you do to actually grab the attention of people at first? So that was a little bit the idea. And then it did take away the language barrier too, because it's, to my count, if I'm not mistaken, it's somewhere just over 40 countries, 41, something, I guess, right now that we're distributed in. And we went from last year 30 something to 40 something this year. I'm not sure about the 41, but don't quote me on it. But somewhere around that. And the reality is, you have so many different languages, you have so many different cultures. Cavalier is fine in English, it's fine in French. As I like to say, you know, you'll find our cigars in Hong Kong and China, for example.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. The Cavalier just doesn't, I mean, it's not something that you can have people remember and say. And the problem is when you're not, you know, legacy brand, it's much more difficult for people to remember. So that was a little bit our, you know, way around it, our cheat code, to make sure that people can recognize it, talk about it and everything. And that's what allowed us to be still here today, I guess, because it's, you know, it's a challenge.
Well, absolutely, but it grabbed everyone's attention. And as you said earlier, like, you have grown leaps and bounds in the last couple of years.
And we've been very lucky.
I'm not sure it's luck.
It's it's a bit of hard work, but honestly, it's the beauty of having people just accept the fact that we're here and accept us and support us and, you know, follow us along our journey, because you can do whatever you want. You can push out your products and want. You need, first of all, you need to do those products for yourself first, because if you like what you do, it's probably going to speak to someone.
Absolutely.
But then you still have to be able to have this translate in terms of, you know, consumer appreciation, what they like, what you do or not, and obviously the support from the press, etc., etc. So we've been fortunate. Yes, there's still a lot of hard work behind it, but we've been fortunate. I really believe so. So that's going to come in traditional boxes the same way. The white is going to be a cabinet. The black too, or is a cabinet because it's shipping now. The black too and the Viso come in regular flat 20 count boxes. But it's a funky little size. It's not something you see a lot in the market.
It's not.
It's a petite number two. So petite number two traditionally is a petite torpedo.
Yes.
And same thing. Black two and Viso, instead of box pressing them like we did for the torpedoes, regular ones, we decided to do everything on the same level and do everything round. It's a funky little cigar. I'll give you some after. It tastes really good. It has some punch to it.
Nice.
It's funny. And it's a great alternative. It's a little bit one way to the same thing than when we introduced the Coronas. It's a great alternative to your classical Augusto. Right? You want to smoke something a bit different? Now you have something.
Let me ask you, because you said 20 count boxes.
Yeah.
It seems the industry as a whole is moving away from 20 count boxes and going to 10 count boxes. I kind of understand it, but like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think you'll ever move to 10-count boxes? Because I'll be honest, when I picked up like the domain news, I'm like, 20-count boxes is perfect. I would rather have more than less. And your box sizes, except for, you know, for the shelf, are always compact, so I can fit them in the humidor. I'm not playing Tetris. Like, what are your thoughts on
it? So it usually works. So we started at 20, right? We did some 10 counts in the small batch, limited edition, stuff like this. But I think the core is meant to stay at 20. You know, the industry used to be at the 50 count level, right?
Yep.
50 and 25. Then it went down to 50, it basically disappeared. And that's something I'm hoping to.
Are you going to bring that back? Maybe you got something in the works? All right. All right.
I love the 50s. I mean, there is few things more beautiful than a 50 count cap. Oh, right?
Absolutely.
It's just glorious. It is. Take the cigars out, it's just a beauty. But people started, well, at the time, the consumption was a lot of box buying, right? It was really hard to buy the stick, buy the cigar.
Absolutely.
That changed a lot. Now you have most, if not every shop is going to offer you, and when I say now, it's me, way over a decade, right?
Sure.
A few decades now where you can buy single cigars. So it changed the consuming habits. People go, and if they buy a box, it's much easier to convince someone to buy a 10-count box than a 20-count. But the reality is, if someone really likes your products, it doesn't matter if it's 50, 24, 10, they're going to buy it, right? I had that conversation with a friend not a long time ago. He was like, oh, we should do something in 5-packs. Okay, 5-packs are great. It was for an event. It's like, my opinion, and that's, you know, what it's worth, but I think people buy a unit. So if a consumer buys a unit of 5, if you did it at 10, they buy a unit of 10.
Absolutely.
Now you just sold up. And that person is going to consume those cigars anyways. I mean, I don't know the value of bringing everything to 10. I understand the easy box sale, but I don't know if in the long run it's really making a big difference, right? We started at 20, we went up to 24. We have quite a bit, like Inner Circle, Domaine Rouge, Tres Delincuentes, all 24-count boxes. So, and I said, Wet Dream, 50. So, I don't see myself going to 20-count boxes.
Good. Because I would, honestly, I prefer the 20, 24, 25, even the 50 cap. It's just gorgeous. You know, and it's an art form. I talk about this all the time. This is an art form, yeah. Right? But so is the marketing behind it. So are the boxes. So is the presentation. And a lot of thought and effort goes into that. I feel like if we're going to 10-count boxes and bundles and this, you're taking away from the art.
Yeah. And I mean, bundles can be really nice if they're well done. In 10-count too, I mean, there's a lot of great examples out there.
Oh, sure.
Beautiful boxes. And I think for specific projects, it makes sense. But for core, it's just a lot of hassle. And then one thing to also take into account there is, you know, everything's been going up over the last few years. And we
absolutely
all know that. And that's
absolutely
not just cigars. It's the life, right? It's everything.
It's the absolute.
So now you reduce 20, 24 to 10. You divide the cost by your box cost is not going down a lot. It might even go up depending on what presentation you want
absolutely
to do. And now you're splitting this cost between 10 cigars instead of 20, 24, 25, or 50. So your actual cigar on the shelf is getting more expensive. Do you really want to pay for the same cigar? You're already getting price increases. So do you really want to get an extra increase on that price increase so that you can buy the box and actually pay more for the same thing you would have bought anyways?
Well, absolutely. Any plans on an Uber $60 plus cigar from Cavalier in the near future?
$60 plus?
That seems to be what the industry is doing, right?
Not specifically, but I'm not saying that I have something. I'm not saying that we're close to have something.
But it's not something you would rule out.
No, I've been pondering certain things, you know, over the last few years, actually, to be able to do something without caring about any parts of the cost, really being completely free to do what you want to do. And that requires a higher price point. So there might be something in the future. They might not. What I know is, yes, it's been a thought, but it's not. It's nothing.
Do you see that as the industry, because you said it, you know, there's no constraints when you do that, when you have that Uber price cigar. Is it more of an expression thing for more like an artistic kind of?
Well, I think so. It's the in this case, it would be the beauty of having 100% carte blanche in terms of creativity, right? Yeah. You don't have any restrictions anymore, so it's like an art, right? Once, if you create something for someone, it's a bit different, but if you create something for someone specifically targeted, or someone asks you for an art piece, yeah, you're doing it, you're expressing yourself through it, but it's not you, right? And I'm not saying it has to be expensive for it to be you.
No, sure, absolutely not.
But you not caring about the price allows you to do a lot more. That's a reality. Now, is every cigar at that price point justified? I don't know. If we would do it, would it be justified? I don't know. We'd do our best to actually have it make sense.
Yeah.
But I think it. So I know some people have been kind of talking a lot about it, and in a good or bad way sometimes.
Sure. Doesn't matter. Bit of both.
You know, everyone has the right to have their own opinion and perspective on it. But I think that it makes sense. And even when you think about it, just regular cigars are cheap for what they are. For if you take a single cigar, for the work that gets in it, the amount of people that work in it, the years, and the risks that are taken every day, because you know, with growing you have risks, with processing you get risks, and that's not a week, and then you're good to go. No, it's years. So when you think about all this, and then the amount of hands that people actually touch this to make it happen before it gets to the market,
to the consumer's hands,
something at maybe, you know, nowadays maybe 10 to 15, and not the 7 to 10 it was, it's still $10 to $15. Something that's been crafted by hand, skilled workers. It's an art, so it's cheap. I really think that we are lucky to have products like this, and I say like this, cigars in general.
In general, yeah.
That are that approachable for everyone. It's. I think it's actually budget friendly for nearly everyone.
I would agree. And it's gone a long way to get there. Because this used to be it's only for the rich.
Yeah.
But now it's more approachable for everybody.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to ask, because you are busy, you've got your kids, your wife, you're moving. How do you juggle all of this? And then you come to the trade show and you're like, yeah, let's do this too. Like, how do you do all this?
Honestly, I don't know. The last year has been a lot more difficult than it was before. And it's funny, people say you're never ready.
So right.
You're really never ready.
Never,
no. No, you're not. And so it's been a learning curve. But you know, you decide to do these things in life and have these things happen to you in life, so you have to take responsibility for what you do.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, if you're part of this industry, people expect you to. They expect you to be here because they take the time to come here.
Absolutely.
You want to be part of it. You have to do it.
It gives you a chance to meet the retailers face to face, and maybe you just have that, you know, phone call relationship. Hey, I need to reorder cigars.
Or you go there, you know, maybe once a year, 3 years, or whatever it is, because you can't hit everybody. It's impossible. So it's a luxury to have people come to you instead of you going to them. Well, or everybody going to one place to meet together instead of you having to go to them. It's something that makes sense.
Absolutely. Guys, we're going to see Brian at Mile Kentucky Herf in May.
Oh, yeah.
It is May. We're going to see him there. We're going to see, we're going to get you and maybe Brian on the podcast in June. Look for that in July. Sebastian, thank you so much for taking time. I appreciate it. Day 3 PCA Trade Show 2024. We are coming to you from the Drew Estate booth with none other than Jonathan Drew. Jonathan, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You've got something new. Now, I'm a huge Metallica fan. All my audience knows that. When the M81 came out, the Blackened, I was all about it. It made my top 10 list last year. Love that cigar. You've got something new. You've got the S84 Shade to Black. Talk about that for just a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. But let me ask you something. So you're a Metallica fan, and you know Drew Estate pretty well.
Yes.
And we're so New York, we're so, you know, East Coast, and there's a lot of, obviously, you know, graffiti and hip-hop behind things we do, that New York-centric shit. You probably wouldn't have been surprised, like, when we did something with Eminem, as an example. Huh. But when we dropped this with Metallica, were you shocked?
I think the words that came out of my mouth were, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what's cool about it, is it's that zigzag zigula for us. You know, we have so many interests in each, the diversity of our brands, whether it's Liga Privada, really a heavyweight, you know, Connecticut broadleaf bully of a cigar, to a coffee-infused cigar, or to a Deadwood that, you know, people love that aroma and stuff, is the diversity of the people who work for us, the largest female staff in the cigar industry, or the diversity in Nicaragua as well. Our brands really capture moments in our life. We're not a boardroom company style driven at Drew Estate. It's really about what shit we're into in our lives at the moment. And when this happened and Blackened came together with James Hetfield and my man Rob Dietrich, I've been in the bourbon game for a while and the spirits world, and we all know each other. And it's been a beautiful, really passion product for James, myself, Rob, Willie. So this year we got the Shade to Black, the S84 Shade to Black. And you know, the Maduro, really, it's, we call it Maduro to the core. And I imagine a bunch of guys and gals have smoked it. But the Maduro was a real exploration for us into everything Maduro.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be really bold, really heavy. Again, that kind of Drew Estate, everybody says, like, what's that Drew Estate taste, that really bold in your face, especially Maduro?
Yes.
We are Maduro heavy based with Liga Privada, Undercrown, etc. So with the Shade of Black, what we wanted to do was continue with that driving into Maduro, and then really with the lighter wrapper, kind of see if we were able to get, if it didn't produce a great cigar, we many times we've had many good ideas that we worked on for a year, 2 years, even more, and then said, stop, it ain't right, we ain't doing it, back off. With this, was very hard because you have essentially a master distiller in Rob,
yes,
a master songwriter and musician in James, who's very particular, and then myself, who, and I'm difficult, as you know. And so for us, this is a big deal, and it's a heavy Connecticut. It's not meant to be the mild, super mild Connecticut, which are also great. This is a different product, so this is new for us and very important. And thanks for asking me about the Shade to Black.
No, absolutely. I'm very intrigued by it because, like you said, you're very heavy Maduro. But you're a cigar manufacturer that caters to a whole wide range of people. Nica Rustica, that's one of the ones that everyone knows.
Yeah, Nica Rustica. You know, we have so many brands, because a lot of you know, whether it's on the traditional side or non-traditional, like Deadwood or Kentucky Fire Cured, and then obviously our infused side, whether it's coffee like Java or Tobacco Special or Acid, for example. But Nica Rustica, and we were talking about it a little bit, why I'm so proud of that fucking cigar. Nica Rustica for us, I call it the six buck chuck. So when you see JD on a stage in front of about 1,000, 1,500 people at a Born Smoker, and you know, they want to talk about a $20 cigar and 25, like, for me, fuck that. Like, we're a blue-collar company. My mom was a registered nurse. I'm from blue-collar. We always think about the regular working guy and gal, firemen, policemen. So that's our core as a business. We're not trying to be Mr. Luxury and shit. So Nica Rustica is a great cigar at $6 that, for us, everybody should be able to smoke a premium cigar and have it really wonderful. And at Drew Estate, we always look for efficiencies on the production floor. I'm a cigar manufacturer. I lived in the factory for 19 years. I didn't go and visit once a month or have a cousin or once a year to make a blend. I lived there 19 fucking years. I slept on the floor for the first 6 years. I never left pretty much the building. And we learned it from scratch. So finding efficiencies on the factory floor and being able to create products. If you're buying leaf for Liga Privada and you're not using all that leaf, came the birth of Undercrown. The factory was born on the factory floor that the rollers made when we stopped them from smoking all the Liga. Nica Rustica is a product that for $6, you're getting a $12 smoke. So that's what I think it's about. You know, it's not just about luxury and higher and higher, more expensive and more exclusive. How do you like the booth?
I love the booth. It's absolutely, it's always bumping. But here's the thing. You're talking about all these cigars going up and up in the price. That Nica Rustica staying at that $6 price point.
Yeah.
You talk about moments. You want people to have moments with your cigars.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way for everybody to be able to afford to have those moments. Me personally, H99 is my favorite lead in the Toro. I love it. But you know what? Love the Feral Flying Pig as well. That was my favorite.
Go back to H99. Oh, so I am so glad, dude, honestly, that you said that, because with Liga 9, it was very hard to, like, what are you going to follow Liga 9 with? Again, Liga, we could have probably gone up $5, $6, $7, $8 even back then on the price. And it's just not us, right? So when we dropped Liga, it was like, for us, that was for, like, for Carlito, his opus.
Yes.
For us, Liga Privada, that is our flagship brand. And to top 9, or to even bring something out after 9 with 52, it had to be fucking gritty. It had to be heavy, in your face, really bomb, full body. And with 52, which is clearly a better cigar, 52, we accomplished that. So even though Liga 9 continues to be a bigger brand than 52, with the H99, the H stands for hybrid, and the concept behind the hybridity of the tobacco is being able to, you know, combine different worlds.
Yes.
And in seed, and when you think of place of origin, whether it's Connecticut or Kentucky or Cuba or Honduras, wherever you want, and then you're processing, those three components coming together, and the class, you know, you hear me screaming about Nica Rustica six-buck chuck, because that's our roots blue collar. H99 is where we kind of say, yo, this is like put on the tuxedo moment. This is our high-end shit.
Yes.
And the taste is bomb. So I'm thrilled that you really like that stick, because
I really do. I like a lot of stuff that you put out. The camera guy, he smokes a box of Undercrown Maduro literally every week.
We gotta send you some stuff, bro.
Yeah, he's awesome. You are awesome. I appreciate all your time. Look, the thing with Metallica, you're getting these three creative guys together, you, Dietrich, and Hetfield, coming together, putting this together. I love it. Keep doing it, Jonathan.
Thank you so much.
Killing. Go manufacture your own moment with Drew Estate.
Yeah, and for the Drew Estate, because I'm sure we'll repost this as well. For all the Drew Estate fans out there, and for our world, our community, who may not know Simply Stogie's podcast, you guys are first class, and it would be great for you guys to check them out. So to do so, what's your website? Is Simply Stogie's?
SimplyStogie's.com.
Cool. So it's JD signing out. Yo, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, JD.
All right, cool. Thank you, guys.
I'm here in the smoking tent at the Cigars for Warriors little post right here. I'm sitting with Storm from Cigars for Warriors. Storm, how you doing?
Man, it's great being here.
Good. You know what? I came here yesterday and I said, I want to make this right. I want to sit down. I want to have a little conversation with you. And they said, Storm's here. You got to talk to Storm. Storm, what do you do?
I'm the one of the original founders.
Okay.
And I, the CEO right now, I like to buy them the figurehead and they do all the real work. We started this 2011.
Okay.
We went federal in 2012. And a lot of guys, you know, they don't really understand what we do. Sometimes it's very simple. When we have deployed troops, we're first priority being a combat zone, of course.
Yep.
Second priority being long-term deployments in messed up places and floats. I do consider Africa deployments as a combat, even though U.S. doesn't. Because if you've been there, it's a bad, guys where the troops go is a bad place. So
yeah,
we'll put them on our priority list. And then recently we started taking care of the guys on the Texas border.
So you said you served in the military.
Yes, Army.
And Army, active component or National Guard?
I started out active and then went reserve after nine years and got 18 in and got shot up and medically retired.
So what was the... You got shot up. That stinks. I feel for you, man. I feel for you. What was it that just kind of made Cigars for Warriors come about? What was that trigger?
Well, I got interested about cigar groups by pure accident. I got in a cigar one day, and I really liked it. The next day I went to the shop thinking, logically, the cigar is good, then one next to it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it out. And I was looking at the labels. It said Drew Estate. So I thought I had to go look at what's Drew Estate. And I was still on medical with the Army.
Okay.
And I thought I was typing in Google. Now it's actually typed in Facebook. And it opened to cigar groups.
Okay.
I said, the hell is a cigar group? this is weird to me, but so I started watching and paying attention. And every time I'd ask a question or state something, I'd get my ass chewed out a lot.
So okay.
I told a couple of guys, I said, you know what, just, I'll make my own group, be four or five of us, and we'll just share, specials we find.
Okay.
Because everybody, we knew everybody bought online, but no one admitted. They always said, if you buy online, you're not supporting the local stores.
Right.
So I started a group called, I made it Cats. But the thing is, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so I didn't understand the security stuff. So within like 2 days, there were 3,000 people, and it just kept blowing up. Other the guy running around, and he was saying he's sending cigars to the troops.
Okay.
So that's fascinating. So I started to help him out. Had a, some of the guys from the group came out and started helping out. Sadly, we found out he was shady. So we backed out of it. But one of the founders, Elaine DiBonato, called me one day, and she said, we should do it ourselves. And it always stuck to my head. She said, the mission's too beautiful not to. It was just a perfect line I ever heard. So I said, okay. I got some conditions. I don't want to run shit. We go hard and fast, and we do everything by the book. I said, I'll do the bylaws. I'll do all the paperwork. But I don't want to run anything. So the day we started voting for all the positions and stuff, I got stuck as a guy in CEO, mainly because I was retired, or they knew I was about to retire. And we started going hard and fast. One of the stories I don't always tell is had that first board meeting, I said, we got to have that slightly impossible goal. Just kind of motivate us.
Yeah.
And we're on Google Hangouts. They're all over the country. And I said, how about we ship 800 cigars in 1 year? And they cussed me out. They used every four-letter word you can think of. Where are we going to get the cigars? Who are we going to send them to? How are we going to fund it? Blah, blah. And I said, well, that's why it's a slightly impossible goal. Well, in the first month, we shipped out 860. By the end of the first year, it was 93,000.
Wow.
And as of today, it's 1.6 million.
That's an amazing number. The first time that I saw or kind of got introduced to Cigars for Warriors was at an event, just a little cigar event. And, you donated, I think, $10. You got a button or something like that. I said, well, this is a great cause, sure. I was working the event, so I didn't get a lot of opportunity to ask questions. So at the PCA trade show, I saw that you were here, really wanted to ask questions. How many retailers do you have that support Cigars for Warriors?
I think we're up around 1,300.
1,300 across the United States.
Yes.
Okay.
And it has gone up and down, just like volunteers. You get a shop, sells it, close down, or get a new manager. You know, it's kind of starting all over again sometimes. But on the whole, they're pretty steady. They send their donations once a month. And after 2016, when they hit the deeming, and there was one little line in the 2009 Tobacco Policy or Child Protection Act that said tobacco manufacturers cannot donate products to charities.
Okay.
Weirdest line, but we went from 90% of manufacturers donating every month to 4. We had donation centers, but we never put a lot of focus on it. And it was the donation centers and the regular guy donating that saved our asses.
Right.
So we focus on that. And then there's been a few other companies that never quit. And then companies like Drew Estate, which is our big first monster cigar company that supported us.
That's a good one to have behind
you. In fact, the story is always this. I had me and JD argued about it for an hour. He's like, besides money, besides cigars, what else can I do? So that is set up in your booth at the trade show. He's like, there's no reason to, just thought it was crazy. I said, well, that's what that trust back and forth is. I think it's going to be beneficial.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, he's like, so it's pretty much pointless for us, right? And I said, no, man. Drew Estate, because of the caliber of this company, by us being in your booth, set us 10 years ahead of the game.
Right.
You just legitimized us, the whole industry.
Yeah.
Now we're out here talking to manufacturers, and you're not the only one had to pony up. Now everybody's ponying up.
Yep.
So it was a really, really neat deal starting it out. We had no idea what we were doing, but it really did push us out that far.
And then so the retailers, and I have a couple retailers that I frequent that they're all drop-off centers for cigars. Right. So when you go in there, you can make a donation, you can drop off cigars. And I've talked to a few of them because with any good organization, it's all volunteer work, correct?
Right.
So there's going to be a few logistical issues here and there. Nothing huge. Have you noticed any logistical issues that you've really focused on fixing lately that you want to talk about? Because I don't want to.
I mean, it's no nothing to shame about. It's just we deal with volunteers. Mm-hmm. Anything in life can affect that volunteer. So he or she may be going hard, and then they have a baby, they get divorced, they lose a job, get a new job, move. Yep. All these things affect the volunteer life. And so, you know, we have probably about 300 volunteers right now, but it's only maybe 15 of them that are working, but it's different 15 every day.
Right.
So, you know, and the cigar shops are kind of like that. You kind of babysit them a little bit to make sure, hey, you need to ship it this month. Or, so, you know, I'll get guys ask me, why I can't get anybody to donate. Well, let's try this, try that.
Mm-hmm.
Make money using it. You know, for 4 years, I wrote an article every issue of Tobacco Business.
Okay.
And it was all about how to make money using the charity. Don't be ashamed of being a capitalist and making money with the charity.
Sure, sure.
We're going to get our donations naturally if you do it right. Mm-hmm. And if you're making money, you're happy to keep doing it. So it's a good, you know, we always try to do a good quid pro quo. We want our partners to benefit as much as possible. In a perfect world, they would actually benefit more than we would.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would grow, and we would grow with them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's worked pretty good. But yes, logistics, there can be some hiccups here and there. Yeah. I'm very blessed having two great Chief of Logistics and assistant that they ship out every cigar that we get. And we have a port in Florida. We have a place in New Jersey.
Okay.
So what happens is most of the donation centers ship everything once a month to Florida. And then the big special places like trade shows, festivals, special events, golf events, whatever, those all go to New Jersey.
Okay.
And, you know, that's basically how it works. So one of the things we're very proud of, a lot of people don't realize, and you'll appreciate this, is one, it has to be requested.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask that question.
Never randomly send, because you know where those cigars are going to end up.
Yeah, yeah, I sure do.
And we vet 100% of the requests, because just because it's an APO address does not mean it's a U.S. service member.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that. And we're very proud of to be one of the only charities, if not the only charity, that vet requests from the troops overseas. And we're blessed because we have an active duty person, a major in operations,
mm-hmm.
who have gotten permission to say yes, no. Yes, that's a soldier or service member, and that's not.
Absolutely.
That's a very defining point for us.
Yeah, and I think last time I asked, there is a spot on your website that somebody can go to and they can volunteer or submit a service member's name to receive cigars.
Yes.
And then that request goes to the active, or I don't remember if she's active Army,
active
but the Major. Right, Major?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. And yeah, because I remember I talked to her last year and I said, hey, from my state, if you need anybody, if you need to know, just call me. I'll let you know.
Nice.
Because I would love to help any way that I possibly can. And you have a coffee too, right?
Yeah.
A CFW coffee.
One
Tell
of my
us a little
personal
bit about
missions
that.
Have been trying to get in every box coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been kind of a hard game. We get some months, we'll have a lot, and then we'll go months without any donations. So it's one of the things I always say. We only can guarantee cigars, but we try to put magazines, try cutters, lighters, whatever is being donated at the time. The only guarantee is that cigar. But we're working with Janice Cigar Coffee Company.
Great coffee company.
High blend. I'm not a coffee drinker, but the rest of my board are all coffee whores. So they can tell you everything about it.
How do I get on the coffee whore board?
Well, the next blend they send to me, I'll send them to you.
All right.
So we have two blends, three blends technically, but two blends on their website. And we get a little bit of money, but so much more importantly is every bag bought, mm-hmm. they send the same bag to us and put the person who bought the bag as a donor on the back of the coffee.
Oh.
So now there's the service members are getting a full bag just like you did.
That is
cool. And that's
cool.
A big deal. Then we have a third one that's part of our Synergy program. The Synergy program are companies that get on board with us, who make a showcase product. They sell it only to our donation centers, and they turn around and give us all their profits. That sounds insane, right?
That does, yeah.
And it started out as like a opening negotiation with someone I didn't really know. And everybody liked it.
Yeah.
So we started out with Hiram & Song was our first cigar.
Okay.
Live to Serve, which has always been our motto. Because every aspect of this, there's a servant.
Absolutely.
Whether it's volunteer, whether it's media, whether it's the manufacturer, whether it's the troops. Everybody's serving one way or the other. And I, you know, I always get guys say, hey, I wish I could have served. I'm like, there's so many ways to serve. Just find one of them.
Fine.
Do it. So the coffee is great. We're, you know, slowly building that up. We have a few companies that bought 60 bags.
Mm.
So when the retailer buys 60 bags, we'll actually redesign everything about the bag to their. So it looks like a collaboration.
Oh,
that's storing us.
That is a very cool feature.
So that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of things in work this week that, knock on wood, that we actually can get the coffee in every box.
That'll be great. Yeah. That'll be great. I know we have quite a few soldiers that are going to be going somewhere in the world sometime soon. So this is a great organization to support the soldiers and the cigar community. How do people get a hold of you? What's the website, social medias, all that good stuff?
You know, before I tell you, one of the things what you just said I want to touch on is
yeah.
that people think that because Afghanistan is no more, we still have, according to Newsweek, over 33,000 in the Middle East alone.
Oh, yeah.
Now we have troops out of the U.S. in NATO countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still taking care of all those other missions, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Africa, Djibouti, etc., South Korea. So just because Afghanistan's no longer, we're still sitting in Iraq, in fact.
Oh, yeah. We have soldiers all over the world at any given point in time, just because there is the current well-known publicized conflict.
Right.
There's soldiers somewhere in the world serving.
And as you said, we go cigarsforwarriors.org. And I always tell everybody, do your due diligence as well. That means us too.
Mm-hmm.
We are two of the best watchdog groups called GuideStar.org
okay.
and Canid.org. We've been very blessed. We're in the 0.05 percentile and the highest status platinum. Meaning
oh, wow.
we put... You give them everything but your underwear size for transparency purposes.
Right.
Your 99, you make everything public. You know, having an admin cost of zero, it makes things a lot easier.
Right.
Even though it's a nightmare not having actual employees. But it, you know, for the public's sake, they know where every dollar goes. They know where every cigar goes. We get people to donate really nice stuff, but they say it goes to the troops. Those are the truth, but they say
yeah.
use it for the charity, we may raffle it then.
Yeah, but you're still doing everything
right
for the purpose
of the
taking
charity.
Care
yes.
yep, of the
what
charity.
Are the biggest bang for the buck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, you saw that. That's our,
yeah.
our latest Synergy product, which is Oscar.
Oh, yeah, Oscar
so
Valadares
yeah.
right there. Okay.
CFW by Oscar is supposed to be like a, cigars are not in there, but supposed to be like a specialty ammo box.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Nice 10 count you can carry with you.
Right. And they're just selling like crazy.
And so where can somebody pick something like
Oscar.
This? Oscar. Right over there at Oscar?
Yeah, if you're a retailer, you can buy them from Oscar.
Okay.
And then the retailers will sell them at their store. They have to be a donation center. So all
that's
the last
the
couple
trick.
Of days,
that's
guys,
the secret.
Oscar's been walking people over here to become a donation center. So the program's finally working really
good.
Well. Caldwell was the second. He sold out crazy. And then third, we did it called Slaughterhouse with Cretec. Cretec is the largest company in this whole nightmare.
Right, yeah.
And they own Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a Slaughterhouse. It was our inexpensive one. But it was my favorite logo because it's a basic guy, a skeleton wearing a green beret.
Right.
Smoking a cigar.
Yep.
So those are our big synergy. And we got some Case Elegance did a nice combat humidor. And this will be the second year they've donated $15,000.
Oh,
wow. That'll happen a little bit later today.
That's awesome.
So it's a lot of moving pieces, and every month we keep going by the skin of our teeth, and we keep going. And it's been very blessed.
Yeah, it's a good show. I know last year at the towards the end of the trade show, I saw a lot of manufacturers dropping off some donations. So I thought that was really cool. Actually, I think we got to deliver one to you. So that was really fun.
It was a good way for us to bypass the deeming. So what I did is I said, for a dollar, we'll be your cleanup crew of all your cigars.
There you go.
So that way, you know, they don't want to send them back because they're dried up. And we do is we rehabilitate them. Bovita being the first company ever to get aboard with us.
Yep.
And that's another piece of the puzzle that people don't think about, but the humidity has to be perfect to be sent over because you're with the full expectations of not reaching for 3 weeks. Now, generally, that lasts about 4 or 5 days to get there, but worst case scenario, 3 weeks is the window. So we want to make sure heavily humidified.
Absolutely. Some of those cigars have a long journey ahead of them.
And if you know, there's shops that send us some dried stuff, we will rehabilitate them. And Bovita has been good to us. They've given us different percentages. That way we can slowly rehabilitate them.
Absolutely. Awesome.
So it's been a real, those guys have been lifesavers. They've never questioned. They just send and send and send.
Sounds like you got a lot of support from the industry, which is really good to hear.
Yes,
Storm,
sir.
It was a pleasure to down and talk to you. Everybody check out cigarsforwarriors.org, correct?
Correct.
And get on board. Support the program. Have a good one.
Day 2 PCA Trade Show, Convention 2024. We are here at the booth of IGM Cigars with Susana Gonzalez. Thank you so much for spending the time with us today. And of course, her father, Jose Gonzalez, but he does not speak English.
He doesn't speak English, so I'm going to be translated for him.
Yes, you will be translating for him as well as answering some of my insane questions that you've probably answered 100 times already in the last 2 days. So I appreciate the time and answering these questions. But you guys, you're the only farm, the tobacco farm, in Costa Rica, is that right?
Yeah, we are the only crazy one with a farm in Costa Rica. But it's not just a crazy project. Actually, we have been with our own harvest for the last 7 years in Costa Rica, but we make a huge step and we decide to buy the land.
Oh, wow.
So we buy 100 hectares in the mountains of Costa Rica. So our neighbors are monkey. That's really cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And we have this amazing place. It's like a paradise. And it's crazy because you're used to see the tobacco harvest near to the sea, plain, and this is totally different thing. This is a mountain one. So it's a crazy road to get into there. It's an hour and a half from San Jose. It's a whole experience.
So how long have you been running the farm? Has your family been running the farm?
This farm, especially the last 2 years.
2 years?
Yes.
And you bought the land, it's now yours.
Yeah, now it's our land.
So you also own a factory though, right?
Yep.
A cigar factory. What's the name of the cigar factory? It's IGM.
IGM.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
So how long has the factory been around?
Since 2001.
So the factory predates the farm.
Yes.
So the factory came first and then you decide maybe we should grow our own tobacco.
Yeah. We start in Ecuador. We have a farm there. It's a small one. So it was the first try. That was like 8 years ago. And a year later, we tried in Costa Rica because no one's it's put a dollar for a Costa Rican tobacco.
Sure.
And then we said, like, why not? We have a very good environment to grow tobacco. This is Costa Rica. This is a jungle in Latin America. So it's supposed to be easier to grow tobacco here.
Absolutely.
And 20 years ago, Costa Rica was a tobacco land. But it was occupied by coffee. And you don't have more tobacco, just coffee.
Just coffee. Now, Nick Siris, my co-host on the, he owns LH Premium Cigars and he uses a lot of Costa Rican tobacco. I know that Stagley uses a lot of Costa Rican tobacco in some of their blends. So Costa Rican tobacco has come a long way since even 2001 when you started the factory.
Yeah.
So, it's fantastic to see you guys now branch out from just not the factory. Now you have the farm. You also have your own line of cigars. Let's talk about the cigars. You've got two different blends here.
Yeah.
Talk about those.
So we have this beautiful cigar. I have to call it like this.
Of course.
Because this was the first time that after 20 years, we decide to make our own cigars. All this time we have been a B2B business and producing for other ones that they want to have a great idea, and they come to him and I said, hey Jose, can you make a cigar? And he's like, okay. And he doesn't smoke.
He doesn't smoke?
No, not at all. So he only smelled the cigar and he made the blends with tobacco.
So he blended by smell?
Yes.
That's fairly impressive.
Yeah. And we decided to make something that it's from our legacy. We are all Cubans. We go from Cuba in 1950. Our grandma, my grandma, his mom, used to grow tobacco in Cuba. So all this have been in the family for so long that we can't even remember. So we decided to make something with Havana. So the dial call to call Havana is 537. That's the name of the brand. And we decided to put something special. So you were asking me, we have this one that is has Ecuadorian Habano from air, obviously 2004 is a really good seed. And we have this one that is also a Habano, but this is a dark wrapper and this is from Costa Rica. This one was a mistake. When we harvest this tobacco, we were supposed to have a light one, a light Habano, or at least this one.
Sure.
Not that dark Maduro Habano wrapper. So when we took the tobacco out of the tobacco house and we put it in the pilon for the fermentation time, we saw the color and it wasn't light. Mm. And then he said, what are we going to do with this grapper? It's a lot of grapper. I mean, we don't have any client for this grapper.
Sure.
And then he said, you know what? Let's make one cigar with that grapper. So this one is a special one. I really love this cigar. This has also inside, you have the filler with Peruvian, that is sweet, it's good.
Love Peruvian tobacco.
Yeah, you always, you're going to have our Costa Rican tobacco, and you have some disclosed material that I'm not going to tell you, you have to find out.
Okay, okay, it seems to be the growing theme of the trade show. I'm not going to tell you, just figure it out. But this one, so I've smoked this one, I have this one, I haven't smoked it yet, but I've smoked that one. Very good.
Oh,
very good. I do love the Peruvian. You can taste that sweetness from the Peruvian, right?
It's amazing.
And it comes through. And to know that it was blended by Jose just through smell.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. They come to the factory and say, hey, I want to make our own blend. I said, okay, what do you want? We have Dominican Republic. We have Jalapa, Ometepe, Celi from Nicaragua. We have Ecuadorian. We have Connecticut, we have, what do you want?
What
we have Costa Rica, this is a playground for you, what do you want? And they said, oh, let's let him make his own blend. Okay, he takes, no, yes, no, yes, let's make this, put this together. Then he made the cigar, he takes to one friend of ours, he said to the dancer, smoke this. They start smoking. Good. Okay. Then smoke this. And then we take all the cigars to him. He smoked all the cigars and he said, oh, they need time. They need ta 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 ta. So that's how he produces cigars. It's amazing being in the business for the last 23 years without smoking.
Without smoking.
And have a cigar factory.
Has a cigar factory. Been in the business. Yeah. Understands it. Been selling tobacco. Rolling cigars,
yeah.
Never smoked one.
No.
Could you ask your father? Because my Spanish is worse than my English, and my English is pretty bad. Could you ask your father what it was like the first time when he was like, okay, I guess I'll try with the smelling? Was he hesitant? Was he like, screw it, I'll just do it? Was he all in? Like, what was he thinking when he first was like, yeah, I'll try it?
¿Qué fue lo que tú estabas pensando la primera vez que tú te pusiste a oler los tabacos para poder hacer las mezclas?
En realidad, fue hallar un balance en olores.
The reality is to have a balance with the aroma of each tobacco.
Y a partir de ahí empecé a mezclar.
And then he started to blend that aroma.
La primera no funcionaron.
The first one were awful. But then he tried again and again until it was perfect. And after a long road, we got what we want.
How long was that road? How many blends?
¿Cuántas mezclas más o menos te tomó hacer un tabaco? Bueno.
Five or six. How long did it take him to do that?
¿Cuánto tiempo?
Sí, dura. Puede durarte un mes.
1 month to make one blend.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive. That's very impressive. So that's a great story, and they're great cigars. How many shops are you guys in right now?
I actually don't know.
How's business been for you guys? It's been pretty good.
It's been pretty good. I mean, we tried the first time was in Germany last year in September.
Did you tell back?
Yes, sir. And we had a really good welcome to the cigars. And then we are here with a Casaglia umbrella to put it in all stores that we can.
How's it work? How's it been working with Jeremy and company over at Casaglia?
Well, we have been working with Jeremy since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long road. When he said in the first time to make Daughter of the Wind cigar was amazing. I mean, I think
such
it's
a great
one of
cigar.
One of my favorite one. Then we tried to make more cigars with him. So that's where the DB appears, the Ciphers appears. So it's been a long road with him. He's a crazy man, but it's always good to have him with us.
You gotta have a little crazy, right?
Yeah.
Little crazy.
He talks a lot.
He does talk.
Like me.
He does talk a lot.
Oh, he's saying that the craziest thing that he have done is going to walk on a mountain.
That's the craziest thing. I would think that blending by smell would be the craziest
thing. Dice que me hacer las mezclas oliendo era lo más loco que tú habías hecho.
No, eso es más loco todavía.
No, this is the craziest thing.
This is the craziest thing. Why? Why is it? Because you even said, like, we're like it's an insane thing to do. Why? Because Costa Rica tobacco is really good. So why is it crazy to do this?
Because you have everything against you.
Mother Nature?
Mother Nature. We have to do almost the 80% of the work by hand.
Oh, wow.
We can't use machines. And we have to do it. It starts raining and you lost the harvest and you have to do it again and make it better the next time. And the products, you have to be changing. We are trying to be 100% organic one, you know, to make everything good for the tobacco.
So
no
for,
chemicals.
So for IGM cigars to exist, it really is a labor of love. It is passion that goes into it from your dad, from yourself, from everybody at the factory,
yeah.
Everybody at the farm. That's an amazing story. That's an amazing story. I would love to pick your brains more, have you on the podcast at some point,
yeah.
And really find out his story, your story.
Yeah.
Where you guys are at, where you guys are going. Guys, look for that. Promise is coming. Susana Gonzalez, Jose Gonzalez, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Continued success. I hope that the third day of the trade show is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
Welcome day two, PCA Trade Show. We are here at the All Saints booth with my friend, Mickey Pegg. Mickey, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Thank you, St. James.
St. James. Well,
no, yeah, that's the cross on our packaging is the St. James cross.
I know.
I tell you that every time I see you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But I am no saint at all.
So.
No. So, what do you got new for the trade show?
Nothing.
Perfect. We'll see you guys.
No, so, obviously, you guys were there in the beginning of this whole, what we did with the process of the sales force coming together with two different portfolios.
Yes.
Two different invoicing, one sales force, very similar to Fuente and J.C. Newman.
Yes.
Except everybody's heard of Fuente. No, anyways. So, you know, with that said, it took a lot of time and energy. And we're so thankful about our partnership with Miguel and with the sales force that we decided that it would be important to make sure that we get our story out to a lot of people that haven't heard our story.
Absolutely.
Some of the products that we have at market right now are new to so many people that we haven't captured, especially when you start going west across the country.
Oh, absolutely.
So we do have something new coming out later in the year, right? It's called Intercessory, but that's it. That's all we got. I wanted the guys also to be concentrated. They had their hands full with, you know, with being at a show, some of them in their first show,
yep,
talking about the Gallup portfolio and the All Saints portfolio and the dynamics of the blue coming out.
Yes.
So that, hyper focus on that, because if we get this right, then other things will come. So, and tremendous success. So I'm very happy. So that's our new.
That's the new. But there's a lot to unpack there. So I kind of want to start with the division. Like, All Saints and McAuliffe have a partnership.
Right.
But do people really think, oh, well, you're just the same company?
Yeah, so people think there was a merger. I hear, hey, congratulations on the merger and all these things. It's a format that has done beautifully in other companies. And, you know, Dan and I have a lot of conversations, and, you know, Dan would say, oh, I don't have this, and I would say, I don't have that, and we kind of put the this and the that together, and it's just been wonderful. The amount of attention that we're getting right now, yes, from this combined.
And so the sales force is combined, distribution, yeah, all of that.
All direct, it's an entirely direct sales force.
And you said something, you know, that some of these guys, this is their first show that they've, yeah, done. So you've brought in some new folks into the, yes, sales team.
And we got two more new people coming.
We got two more new people coming.
We added an inside sales guy with Jason Fields. We got Big Country, Waylon Stevens in the Mid-Atlantic.
Wow.
We got in the Midwest, we got Jeremy.
Jeremy's awesome.
Yeah, he's a machine. We got, obviously, down in the Gulf States, we got Alan.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Wilson down in Florida.
A lot of great people. Uh-oh. They know their stuff. They're coming in. It seems like a marriage made in heaven, because you're bringing the sales culture that you are used to, that you know works.
That I built three times. Two in the cigar, one in the financial world.
Was there any pushback at first with that? Because...
Yeah, they all left the company.
There you go. But that's not always a bad thing.
No, and sometimes somebody needs to go from one company to the other. Like Andy Reid, obviously I'm an Eagles fan. We all still love him.
Sure.
Except when we play against him, that's the only time. But he needed a reboot,
yeah,
and went out to Kansas City. A couple of these guys that left the company, great guys.
Absolutely.
They needed a reboot. But we also, this culture that we're bringing in was very important for us to do, because what Amanda and Dan have at the top from the McAuliffe standpoint is now that stable leadership that they're coming together, and the way that we're bringing stuff to market and doing those things sets the tone, and we're building a culture that we want everybody to have fun, have a good time, make some money, feed their families, and just be happy.
And
be thankful.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most... two most important things.
Gratitude's it's an amazing power.
It is. Yeah. Just be thankful for what you have. Right. Never covet more than what you've got. Right. And it's an interesting kind of segue into All Saints, because it is very the religious motif, the Christian motif.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be. It ended up that way.
But it ended up that way. And it seems to work for you. You're a hardworking guy. I see you all over the place. On Facebook, it's like, oh, no, Mickey's flying here. Yeah. Mickey's flying there. Mickey's off. You're maybe one of the hardest working guys in the industry.
Well, I've always done that stuff, and I enjoy it. So, do I miss my wife and kids? Absolutely. Sure. I got two in college now, and one in high school, and they're all athletes and doing their own things involved with their schools. And
how do you juggle that?
My wife is an amazing. She's a saint.
There you go.
My wife is an absolute, unequivocal saint. So. She's the anchor in our operation. She's such an amazing, hardworking person, and like she says, I'm her toughest kid. We have three beautiful daughters, but I'm the toughest kid.
You're the toughest kid. Yeah, I think myself and Randy know exactly what you mean, but I think our wives would probably say the same thing about us. So you've got something new coming out, the Intercessory. Is that,
yeah,
did I get,
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you got that.
I'm already getting my chops busted for that name. So
why?
Because it's a little bit of a tongue twister.
People will figure it out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all of these other, like, Spanish names, and people, right, are like, I got a guy who pronounced Potomac, Potomac.
Okay.
So.
I get it.
You know, like, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. So you've got that coming out. Where are you headed after this? Like, what's next for Mickey Pegg after the trade show? You close everything down. Are you going home, spending time with the family, or are you
A little bit. What it is go, we give the guys a day of rest, and then we get back up. We make sure we do a final recap. And then what's our aftermarket or our after trade show strategy? So this strategy started, these talks started 4 months ago. And there was a whole lead up and campaigns that we did coming into the show and how we're going to capture stuff after the show. Because some people miss appointments, some people didn't make it. So it's a whole piece that we have that's well organized. It's hey, listen, we had a couple bumps and bruises here and there, but that's all positive learning.
I want to go back to the juggling thing, but this time I want to switch. You wear a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
Your sales, your marketing, your directing sales. You wear a lot of different
blending.
You're kind of
factory time.
You are a man of many talents. How are you juggling the focus with, we got to get McAuliffe and All Saints with the sale. But you're juggling it, and you're doing it, and you're making it happen. You've got the
intercessor. But I was afraid.
I get that. You've got your partner, right? The business partner.
Business partner.
Yeah. I want to make sure I said business partner. Business partner.
It's Sunday.
It is Sunday. No. But how?
Like I care.
But how do you juggle that? You're wearing all these hats. I'm sure you're putting one hand on one day.
I scream and cuss and throw up in my mouth at 4:30 in the morning. So a lot of prayers, which I didn't do today or yesterday, but I went to church today.
No, you went to church today.
Yeah, well, I do my meditation and reflection, and you know, please keep a calm head today. Don't yell at anybody. Don't make anybody cry.
Right.
So those things. But yeah, but when it's your fruit, it's a lot easier to, mix that together.
I want people to know your story, your origin story, how you got started. We don't have time for that today because I don't want to take him away from his business.
But let's catch up again. I love hanging out with you guys.
Hey, we're going to get you on the podcast. I'm going to have...
And thank you for the last time that we were together. You guys are so refreshing.
You guys are awesome. I love McAuliffe. I love All Saints.
Thank you.
You guys are just very generous with your time with the media.
Yeah.
I can't appreciate that enough.
Thank you. I mean, it's really it's one of those force multipliers. Like yesterday, me and Frank, all we were talking about, what's our sizzle? Wasn't sizzling a little bit in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
We were sizzling in the third quarter because we were ramping up this organization. So we're always talking about sizzle. Listen, there's a lot of great products out there with great branding, great flavors, great construction. Boom, boom, boom. But you need to have something that's compelling.
Oh, you do. And I think you do. I think your products are great.
Thank you.
Go to simplystogies.com and watch for a review. I've got one coming for you guys on the St. Francis. Just wait for it. It's coming. I got a lot in the works here. I'm trying to get to it.
Your prayers while you wait.
Yeah, pray for me. I need it. Mickey Peck, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Pax, always great to see you, James.
All right. We're here at the Luciano booth in PCA 24 trade show Vegas with none other than Luciano Morales. Thank you so much. Good to see you always. I can't wait to see him in a couple months at Mile Kentucky Herf, where we're going to focus on your brand, but you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we do. We've been working really hard, this past year, many different releases, expansions of lines and partnerships and some joint venture. So we've been doing a lot of stuff, and it's just rewarding to see things coming to fruition and the company having more and more, shelf space out there and developing. So,
and you've been surrounding yourself with, we just talked about, there's a lot of the young up and coming talent in the industry. Last year, the White Panda was our number two cigar of the year.
Yeah.
Almost beat out the number one. It was super close. We were sitting which one is it?
Yeah.
But it's a very good cigar. But you just come out with the underrated Ron Harper behind that. Talk about the underrated for a little bit.
So the underrated is it's a project that for us was very unique, and I explain why. We've been observing the industry, how the so-called celebrity cigars work, right? We have a couple here at the show. Wish them success. I personally believe that people are not smoking cigars because someone is signing off the cigar.
I agree.
I don't think this is a good business model. I believe that what we did with Underrated was really special because we launched that cigar 3 months ago.
Yes.
And we never mentioned to anyone, didn't put press release, didn't say anything about Ron Harper. Guy's a NBA five-time champion. Not many people have those five rings.
No.
You know, such a humble, amazing guy. But we decided not to announce him. He's a partner of the project, so we are. It was a blessing working with him. But we followed this strategy. You know, let's launch the cigar. People smoke the cigar, then they're gonna reorder. Then when they reorder again, for the third time,
yes,
that's when we're gonna actually tell people. By the way, guess who is in it? Because now people are not smoking because there's a celebrity signing. People are smoking because the cigar is good. And that's what we want. We want people to smoke for the cigar. It happens to be, you know.
That kind of goes to the whole underrated theme of the cigar, right? Exactly, like, we're not going to tell you the whole story behind it until you taste it, until you smoke it, until you enjoy
exactly
it.
Right.
And then we're going to bring it in.
And it's a product that the price point, it's very accessible. We call it generous.
Yes.
It's not just an affordable cigar. It's a generous cigar. You have the most expensive tobaccos in a cigar that actually costs you much less
than what it should.
That it should.
Yeah.
So, like people say, you know, it punches
above its price
above
point.
Above its price point. But listen, it's a cigar that has Connecticut Broadleaf filler, HVA fillers, Medio Tempo from Pueblo Nuevo. So it's just like the most rare tobaccos. And that's exactly what we are playing with.
So I smoked it at Ash and Anvil on the way here in Kansas City. Straight chocolate. It was so smooth and good. So congratulations on
Thank
that.
You, brother.
That's a phenomenal
Thank
cigar. If you haven't tried Underrated, definitely go try it. But you're also working with a friend of the show and a friend of mine, John Lorendi at Peter James.
That's right.
Him and Adrian. You put together a cigar with them. Talk about that experience working with
John
and Adrian.
Yeah, this is awesome because I know these guys for a long time, you know, what they've been doing with the accessories and the leather goods. The level of perfection, the level of the quality they have in the products is just out of this world, right? So, and they always wanted to do something like with cigars, and we'll be talking for a little bit. And then they brought a proposal that actually I loved it, you know? So they want to create a cigar company in the United States and form this joint venture. So we became partners of that cigar company, and now we make the cigar, we distribute the cigar. And it was one of the biggest challenges I've ever accepted in my life, which is to create a cigar that you can truly find in every single detail of that cigar. Perfection, excellence, things that for people that want to experience that level of perfection. And I don't know if you ever have those moments where you are smoking the perfect cigar at the right time
with the right
perfect
people.
Light,
yes,
with the right conversation, the right people, the best food, the best drink. It's like put all together, the transcendental, almost divine experience. That was the challenge. Can we produce something that actually can be a sensory experience, where people can actually feel texture in their hands when they touch that box, and they can in the colors of the box, what that communicates, the taste profile with the colors that have been presented, which is very subjective for most people.
It is very subjective, but you bring up a good point. We've talked about this before on the show. Yeah. And in fact, we were talking with Bill from La Polina yesterday, and it's a very magical experience. It can be transcendent, like you said. And when you have that, and so to have that as the focus when you're doing the blend is amazing. Yeah. I can't wait to try it. It is at a higher price point, but when you want that experience.
Hey, listen, that's a very good point, because we did a market research. I saw all the cigars that were like within the same price point. And that's one of the things I told John. John, the only way that we're going to do this is if I can look anyone in the face and say the reason why that cigar cost what it cost. So the cigar costing what it costs is not because we are making more money on that cigar.
Right.
So it's because actually it cost a lot to make that cigar.
Absolutely.
Every single process, like from the wrapper to all the fillers, everything that's in that cigar was carefully chosen. Even like the fermentation process of every leaf. A lot of people think, oh, you know, I heard of cigars that age for 10 years or 5 years or whatever.
Sure.
So you don't age all the leaves at the same time. You know, there are leaves that they will actually, you can lose flavor if you age too much, lose strength.
Yeah.
Some of them will ramp up. We try to find the point of perfection of fermentation for each one of the leaves that goes inside this, that cigar, which was, there was research, it's just 100 cigars made a day of that cigar. There's a limited amount of wrappers you can get. We talk about the Corona part of the plant for wrappers. It's a viso wrapper. Comes from Lajos, which is the south part of Quevedo. It's the most volcanic area of Ecuador.
So rich in minerals. And
very rich in minerals. Very rich. It's very, very kind of sulfurous soil. The sweetness that comes out of that tobacco is out of this world. And it's just not there. No. It's not like a wrapper you can go and buy anywhere.
No.
First, you have to have the relationship.
Yes.
Or grow yourself.
Yes.
And second, you have to actually make sure that you have the right quantities and that you can produce that cigar, you know, because it's very limited.
Yeah.
You know, we can only get a certain amount per year. So we have a cap of what we can produce of that cigar. Binder, it's very complicated. I don't know who has Matafino in the market today. So it's a very expensive binder that costs actually more than many wrappers out there. So the whole composition of the cigar is very interesting.
It's very it's done on a very different level.
Yeah,
I feel, than other cigars. Just listening to you talk about it and the passion that you have for it, I feel like you really put a lot of thought with John into this to get this to market and to make it perfect for the audience. So I invite you to go try it.
And then we have the Domino that we launched, the Repente Domino, which is a PCA special. It's whoever is here by, and that's it. And then we have the Fiat Lux,
yes,
which is now being in a manufacturing partnership with Tabacos de Oriente, now making that. And to celebrate that partnership of the two families, we have Tenebris, which is for us a magnificent project.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we have that double wrapper, the Sumatra, with the Azacualpa wrapper, which is a preparatory seed of the Plasencia family. Man, this show, it's been just phenomenal. We got great things going on and excited to see this booth always with clients and people, always full, you know, so.
No, absolutely. I was talking with Paul. I know him from the Mile Kentucky Earth. He was very excited about the show.
We're going to see each other very soon.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I'm very much looking forward to it. Because I want to pick your brain just a little bit. I know you're busy, but just give me a couple minutes on moving production from the Fiat Lux from one factory to another. Uh-huh. What does that entail?
Well, it's very simple. I think the two families, we have been trading tobacco, doing tobacco business with each other. There are certain tobaccos that go into that blend that actually come from us, and some tobaccos that we put in that blend, they always came from them. So it was a logistic no-brainer decision. It's like, you know,
if
we can make exactly the same cigar,
and
we can do, you know, in a facility with such a good reputation, that opens space for us to do so many other things, you know. Like, we fortunately, our production has been increasing so much, so we need space to produce more. We have this amazing project with Peter James, all the new stuff that's coming. That opens up space for us to work with some private labels as well. It was just a business / logistics and
win-win
and
situation
for
both.
For everybody,
absolutely,
you know? And,
absolutely. Now, I don't want to give any secrets away, anything that I may have heard through the grapevine, but come May, you might have little bit of an announcement for my own Kentucky Herf and Fat Ash Cigars.
That's true. We'll have some announcements.
We'll have some announcements. So stay tuned. I'm looking forward to that because I get to spend a little bit more time with him and not take him away from the business that he's trying to conduct here. So I'm going to let you go, Lucio. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, man.
Can't wait to talk to
you
again.
A pleasure, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Day 2 PCA Trade Show. Guess where we're at? My favorite booth, Castagli Cigars, with Jeremy Castagli and Graham. Guys, welcome to the program. I appreciate the time today.
My pleasure too, old chap.
Thanks, James.
All right, so let me ask you, how busy has it been?
Very busy. I don't think I've had lunch yet. It's sitting right behind you, Papa John's.
Literally a Papa John's.
Yeah,
right
Papa John's.
There.
I think I had one chicken strip. No, but it's been really very, very busy.
That's good.
Of course, from beginning to end.
That's great.
We're doing very, very well. We have some retailers coming back from last year that have been sitting on the fence, coming back now and saying, okay, enough is enough. Let's go.
So you guys have bounced back, and you are back big time.
We had a couple of orphans turning up as well, saying, do you know me? No. We had cigars, Castagli Cigars. Excellent. So we've made a lot of people happy.
Good.
Actually, to them back. So it's
very good. I want to talk about the brand new Cipher. And guys, comes in... You had, I'm going to, the Lorenz,
You had the Enigma.
Yeah, the two German coding machines.
Yes. You had the Needle.
If you can get this all right, you're going to get a cigar. You realize this?
Yeah. I'm trying really hard. Colossus.
The Colossus, the computer that broke it. So now we had to come up
with the Robusta.
Boniface with Robusta Gordo.
Yes,
Robusta Gordo. Good, absolutely. So the Boniface, well, the blend is the same as the Colossus and the Needle because it's an allied one, of course. When you see the box, we have a similar box to the others, but when we don't have the little coffin boxes now, but we do have the Enigma machine facing you, penetrated by the Boniface, and obviously my grandfather's story here. So you can see a few of them being smoked. Little story about the Boniface. That was Saint Boniface was sainted in Germany. He was a priest that set up non-Catholic churches in around 600 AD, killed on the road by brigands, sainted in Germany. If you say Boniface to a German, an educated German, say, ah, yes, our saint, even in Holland. But no, he was an Englishman. They believe he was actually the first spy. Really? And so Churchill made a bit of a play on this in the war, and he built a fictitious spy ring called Boniface. So if a German Abwehr would listen in, they'd think, ah, yes, these are German patriots, British traitors. But no, they were totally misled. So that became, Churchill loved it so much, it became the code word for ultra, the secret war. So we've let these ones rest a year. I think when I gave one to you, James, it was around about 6-7 months in. So do not smoke that.
Yes, it
is. Have it. Yeah. And we smoked just before. We were actually at around 9 months. People asking, when's it coming out? Well, PCA came early this year.
It did.
So out we've come and celebrated as well. We have the original embroidery my grandfather made in 1943, the one that endorsed the ring. So that's that story, and they are available.
Yes, they are available. Now talk about where some of the proceeds go.
Of course. Most important. Yes. Thank you for that, James. The Red Cross. So as my grandfather said, the Red Cross saved my life, my embroidery saved my sanity. And we're very lucky and fortunate that the Red Cross, and they do not do this often, have actually done a press release thanking us for the funds which still received by our project. And that's thanks to all of you that smoke the cigar. Because you're paying the money, I receive the money, or part of it, and we do part of that goes to the Red Cross and hard times, as you imagine these days, with the wars and the conflicts. We have told that actually it's going to the orphanages in Estonia. Because so much money goes to Ukraine,
yes,
but quite rightly so, they said the orphenages are being left out. Perfect. So I said, you choose. And they said, could you do that?
It's for the children.
Yeah, my grandfather didn't like kids either, by the way. So, but I'm sure he follows a bit of a chickle.
Yeah.
So, I hope you love this one. So thank you. So this is still a wonderful ongoing project of ours for the Red Cross.
That's fantastic. So guys, look, I bought a box. I let it sit for a little bit. They're amazing. They're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, like delicious.
And I actually brought two with me. I'll share one with the cameraman later so he can...
Now he's smiling. He's been looking miserable for the last 5 minutes.
He has been miserable for the last 5 minutes. But they're absolutely amazing. So you've got to do... And look, part of the proceeds go for a good cause. We want to help the children. We want to help the Red Cross. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Kudos to you. I know you did this with the book as well that you had a couple years ago. Is the book still available?
It is still available.
Okay.
And yes, we're going to be doing another production of it. All profits of this go to Red Cross.
And that's 100% of the profits, and this is part of the proceeds.
Yeah.
So don't get these. This book is amazing. Like I read it. I love it. Go check it out.
It actually is. It's one euro each. Each cigar goes there.
There you go.
Very proud of it.
So let's talk about a project that both of you and Graham have kind of in the works. I think this is very exciting. And a lot of us Americans may not understand what the CBE is. But
well, I think that's supposed to be the most interesting thing about this, and I'll let Graham take it over in a minute. I've known this man for over 40 years.
Now. Yes.
I was in the airline business. We were only 2 years old.
Would you be very happy to know? I tried to get stories of you out of him last year at the trade show. I was like, no, he's not here. He had shoulder surgery. Yes. He's like, I'm like, give me the lowdown on Jeremy. He's like,
Because in those days, we weren't talking about each other's families. We were far too more intense in Brussels doing extracurricular activities.
Exactly.
So we were pals.
And loose lips sink ships.
So when we got together again, we started talking about, and obviously what I was doing, right? We had a reunion at that for the airline. And I said, well, this is, we're doing a cigar business. And he looked at our booklet and says, I never knew you were Egypt and the rest and what have you. And then you're telling about your grandfather.
My grandfather was, and he was a famous agricultural scientist in New Zealand. He ran an agricultural farm and laboratory. And he was educated in Cambridge. My father was born in England, and I have a British passport. But in the 60s, he worked for the World Bank, and he did all the third world loans to the agricultural countries. And he was given by the Queen and Prince Philip the CBE, the Commander of the British Empire. Right. And
my father, of course, we're not talking about guns. We're talking about, mine's guns, yours bread, right?
Yeah.
No, the food. So my father became a top officer in the Royal Navy. He was a flyer. He actually flew and to learn how to fly in Pensacola.
Oh, wow.
Because that's some flying star fighters. So he went through many of the conflicts, obviously Korea, whatever. But he ended up in charge of all sea to air defenses in Western Europe for NATO. And when he retired as an air commodore, he was also given a CBE by the Queen. And yes, you did get the name right. And Prince Philip. So we've learned that about each other's families, and so
for 2025,
we all launched the CBE line. I think we have to call it the Commander of the British Empire,
as
some might confuse it to some marijuana sort of. And we will have some wonderful stories there, and I think it's a wonderful
and photographs too,
photos of the CBE, and it's a little bit of history which we didn't know all those years ago.
Friends for 40 years, you figure this out, and now you're going to pay homage to your father and your grandfather.
That's correct.
That's amazing. I can't wait.
And it better be a bloody special scar.
It better, right? Absolutely.
Right. So you're going to have to like it.
Okay. But you guys, you're not just doing cigars now. You've got this book, The Cigar World. Talk about this, because this is amazing. I Tamara was telling me about it, and I want tell the audience.
So Jeremy knows Cosima very, very, very well.
Yes, she's a lovely Austrian girl. And 6-7 years ago, I think it was, she had this in publication. And it went through a lot of the top lounges around the world. I think she only made about 200 or 300 of them.
Yes.
You can find them on Amazon now for quite expensive price. And it's a beautiful coffee table book paying homage to the cigar world. So she's going to republish it. It's going to be available before Christmas. She has approached me. I'm going to be in it. So that brings down the price a bit.
I don't think I'm going to be in it, but he's going to be in it.
It'll be available through ourselves for a few months, isn't it?
Yes. Christmas, yes. About 3 months prior to Christmas. And so our retailers that are signed up with us will have the opportunity to buy this through us and distribute to their clients.
And it's a very high-end, beautiful book.
It is amazing. It weighs about 12 pounds.
It does.
So it is very, very cool.
And we've even got the granddad of Henke Jr., who's done the Henke Mini. Yes, the great Henke's in this book as well. So I'm like sharing his face. That's nice. Little old me.
So when can they pre-order the book?
We're hoping to have that on our website. And again, we're just getting the details organized. But we're going to be shipping in the containers of the finished book, and we should have it probably at the latest by Thanksgiving.
By Thanksgiving. Perfect. There you go, guys. CastagliCigars.com. Is that the website?
Yes, CastagliCigars.com.
Go there. You'll be able to do this August, September.
Yeah.
We will be doing a nice lead up to it.
Yes. And look, we're going to get you back on the podcast proper. We're going to sit down and have a proper chat.
Love to do it.
Hour.
Come there before the Russians get to me.
Maybe
we're in Estonia.
You're in Estonia. If you're not, you're not.
And that means nothing against the Russians. They're good smokers, by the way. So we know we can have
a spare room.
Either way.
Well, I mean, maybe we get this guy on too. I don't know. You guys can talk about your dads at the
yes.
Yeah, CBE. But we're going to have you guys on. I appreciate all your time. I'm glad the trade show is going very well for you guys.
Thank you.
Boniface, if Castagli Cigars is not in your local B&M, you're doing yourself a disservice. Go ask for it. Ask for them to order. Their cigars are fantastic. Look, yes, they have the Cipher line. It's very good. But they've also got Daughters of the Wind. You've got the
Brothers of the Club, Seven.
The Club Mareva. Am I missing one? Daughters of the Wind, Club Mareva.
We have, obviously, the traditional line.
Traditional line.
Basilica.
Basilica.
We have the cabinet selection. We are growing and growing and growing, and soon we'll be adding to it.
Yeah, so, see, I'm fried. It's the end of the day on day two, and I'm already fried. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Pleasure. I appreciate it, Graham.
Simply Stogies. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, we're here at the PCA 24 Convention and Trade Show. We're here with Michaela Connors from Pop Smoke Cigars.
Yes.
You are a retailer. You're a larger. Tell us about Pop Smoke first.
So Pop Smoke started when my father, the owner, he was active duty in the Marine Corps. I've grown up around cigars. He has, and you know, that was just kind of something that he's always enjoyed. It started as kind of like a travel humidor in 2014. And he would go to mess nights and, you know, Marine Corps events, military events, whatever he could. And one day, one of the main exchanges on the base gave him an offer to have a vendor stands in the main exchange. And they did so well that kind of became a permanent thing. I want to say we were there for about five, six years in the main exchange. And then just recently in August, we got our own... our own storefront on base. With our own main storefront, we also have 24 other satellite locations spread out through bases on the East Coast as well.
That's crazy. That's an insane amount. So you have one main hub, one main store with the lounge, and then you've got 24 satellite locations all around.
So we don't have a lounge. We wish we could, but a federal building, can't smoke inside.
Screw the feds.
That's what I say. Yeah, they're right. They want to ruin everything. They're no fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this is your first PCA trade show.
It is. Yes, it is.
So coming into this, what were you expecting?
You know, like I was saying earlier, a bunch of old guys smoking cigars, being loud, honestly. You know, that was my first thought. When I heard PCA, I was like, old dude smoking cigars.
Was that expectation met with reality?
100%, obviously. It's hard to find anybody around here. I feel like everybody kind of looks the same. So,
but there are more women coming into the lifestyle, into the hobby.
There are, yeah.
And you're kind of coming into this as well. You're getting into the business side of it with your dad.
Correct, yeah.
What's that like working with your dad?
Very entertaining. You know, my dad and I have always had a really close relationship. Just very sarcastic, goofy all the time. But I mean, it's fun. You know, I can learn a lot from him. And like I said, I've grown up around cigars my entire life. So it's something that was kind of easy for me to transition into. But it's so interesting. Like, there's so much that I did not know. You know, I've always watched my father, my grandfather, my uncle smoking cigars. But there was a lot of stuff that I didn't realize. Like, people don't realize just how much goes into cigars.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
It is. It's an art form. I really think it's an art form. Are you a smoker?
I am a cigar smoker?
So, let me ask, what's your favorite brand? Like, who are you looking forward to see at the show?
Honestly, right now, I don't really have a favorite brand.
Good answer as a retailer.
I've been kind of like dabbling around. You know, we've gotten a lot of new stuff in and I've been trying it. I'd say my favorite new cigar that I just smoked was the West Tampa, the Black. That one was really good.
It's a really good cigar.
It was great. That one and the McAuliffe Black as well is really good as well.
Have you tried the Blue?
No, I haven't. One of my employees.
Talk to Dan. You got to try the Blue.
He keeps getting on me. His name's Jimmy. He's a sweetheart. Get the blue. He was actually one of the reasons that we got McAuliffe, because he loves McAuliffe.
Nice.
So
who else do you want to see at the show? So you're obviously going to stop by McAuliffe.
Obviously.
Who else are you looking forward to seeing?
Honestly, Gurkha I'm excited to see, because they got Mike Tyson over there. So
sure.
That'll be great. I have some friends over at Escobar, so I'm excited to go see them. I'd say Crown Heads. I love Crown Heads.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't really think of anybody else right now. Rocky Patel, maybe.
Maybe Rocky. Okay, so you you've walked in like literally maybe 30 minutes ago to the
show.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
What are your like initial thoughts? Do you feel overwhelmed? Is this kind of, besides the old white guy smoking cigars, is this kind of what you thought it was going to be?
Honestly, yes. It's, you know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. It's not really that overwhelming. Like, you think it would be, but everyone's doing their own thing. Like, I feel like everybody has their own little areas, and it's almost like they've created their own little worlds and their stands, and it's really entertaining. It's unique, and there's a lot to learn, and I look forward to that. You know, new cigars, new lines, new brands, all that, so.
Are you open-minded to some of these newer brands that are coming in?
100%, yeah. I feel like, as a retailer, like, you need to be. Everybody's different, and we try to cater to every customer that comes in.
That's hard to do, though, isn't it?
It is hard to do, but we do our best. You know, whether we carry that line or that cigar, or we just order it for that person, I mean, we do our best to, if someone comes in with a request, we're going to do whatever we can to get that in there.
As a family-owned business, do you find it hard to grab the attention maybe of some of these larger manufacturers that maybe have bigger accounts with other folks?
We've actually been doing really good. I haven't seen much struggle with that, honestly. You know, my dad's a very outspoken.
Your dad is very outspoken. Absolutely.
So it's kind of hard to ignore somebody like that. You know.
That's why we put Randy behind the camera, because Randy and your dad last night.
That blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If we didn't tell them, let's go, they would have been there for about an hour
and a half. And your mom apologized, and I appreciated that. But it wasn't her fault. It's absolutely 100% Randy's fault.
It's your fault all the time, 24/7.
It always is. So, we want to come back right before you leave the show and kind of get your final thoughts.
Yeah.
But your initial thoughts on the show, you're not overwhelmed.
No.
You're kind of liking it. I would say, maybe try to find some of the women in the industry. There are a lot of women in the industry, and it's great to see young women coming into it, because we don't see that a lot.
Yeah, I met a girl last night, and we were kind of chit-chatting just about, it's interesting to see, because the best way I can explain it is I have one male employee, and the rest of my employees are females.
Oh, wow.
And I'm training them all, but if my male employee is with me and I'm there, everybody who comes in, they go directly to him and not to me. And he's like, I don't know, ask her. Like, she's the boss lady. And I'm like, you know, I'm here for a reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but it's entertaining to not really, kind of almost like some of these guys who just assume that I don't know anything, kind of give them the middle finger with all the knowledge that I do know.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they're trying to tell me my business. And I'm like, okay, well, let me lay this on you. It's really entertaining. It's like, I do know what I'm talking about. I'm here for a reason, you know, and I'm glad to be here.
I sincerely hope in the next 5 to 10 years, it's not just a old white guy thing. And there's a lot more women that are coming up.
Yeah.
And I think you're off to a great start, Michaela.
Thank you so much.
Tell us where the lounge is, or not the lounge, but where your main shop is.
Our main shop is on Camp Lejeune base in Jacksonville, North Carolina. It's in that main exchange strip right there.
And you're in 24 other locations along the East Coast.
We're spread through the Camp Lejeune Mini Marts, Cherry Point Mini Marts, New River, the Paris Island Recruit Depot Mini Marts, Beaufort, and Laurel Bay.
There you go. Guys, check them out if you're out there. If you're in the military, definitely go check out Pop Smoke Cigars. Tell them Simply Stogie sent you. Look for Michaela. She knows her stuff. And we'll check in with you at the end of the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's it for part one of our PCA trade show coverage from Las Vegas, Nevada at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Part one's in the books. I hope you enjoyed all of those interviews. We certainly had a lot of fun bringing them to you. It was a lot of work. We drove home, myself and Tim, in fact, on Thursday night into Thursday through Friday morning. We drove straight through so that we could get back to our own headquarters here in Simply Stogie's compound and get this done and get it out to you guys. So it was about a 20-hour drive that Thursday and Friday morning. I don't think I got home till 7 o'clock, and then I slept almost all day Friday. So it was a lot of fun. And again, guys, my old Kentucky Herf, check them out. Thank you very much for sponsoring us. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Join us next week where, remember, it's part two of our coverage of the PCA trade show, brought to you by My Old Kentucky Herf. Until then, stay smoky, friends.